may my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Then the devil taketh Jesus up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Above all, Lent is the season which invites us to examine ourselves. It's the season which invites us to examine our lives. It invites us to pay serious attention to where we stand in life. Are there things that we are doing that we should not be doing? Are there things that we are not doing that we should be doing? Are there internal voices that we permit to direct us that are contrary to the voice of the Holy Spirit? What might we do to insulate ourselves from the clamor of those voices? And perhaps above all, are we allowing ourselves to be deceived so that, as we say in our confession, the truth is not in us? When on trial with a death sentence hanging over him, Socrates famously said, The unexamined life is not worth living. And during Lent, that same earnestness about inquiry into the health of our soul is asked of us. You could say, a soul is not worth having unless it is examined. I wonder if you have come across the term flipism. I don't see much recognition on any of your faces. It is a philosophy of life under which all decisions are made by flipping a coin. Its popular origins are in a 1953 Donald Duck story. Donald attends a lecture by a charlatan named Professor Batty. In his lecture, Batty is contending that flipism is the solution to everyone's problems. And Donald is convinced. He decides that from now on, whenever he faces a crossroads in his life, he will be guided by flipping a coin. He adopts Professor Batty's motto. Life is but a gamble. Let flipism chart your ramble. But Donald soon gets into trouble following this advice. He takes his nephews out for a drive, and they become hopelessly lost after he flips coin after coin to determine their route. Eventually, he drives down a one-way street the wrong way, and they collide with a large truck. None of them are hurt. But a magistrate fines Donald $50, not for failing to obey the traffic rules, but for letting a dime do his thinking. Flippism is one end of a continuum where the other end is thoughtful, reasoned decision making. The advantage of flippism is that it requires very little effort. You simply flip the coin. And if you really don't believe that you will benefit much from a good, reasoned decision, then why make any more effort than that? If you don't value what you might achieve, then why make unnecessary efforts to achieve it? I suppose a person who lives by flippism would be known as a flipist. Unfortunately, so many people are flippists, so far as their souls are concerned. The condition of their soul just does not matter to them. The cost-benefit analysis of caring for the soul just doesn't make sense. If there is no perceived benefit in laying up treasure for yourself in heaven, then why not simply flip the coin, lay up treasure on earth, and put up with the fact that moth and rust corrupt? Lent prevails upon us not to make that choice about our souls. It says to us, make the effort. Consider where you stand with your Maker. Be careful. Be prayerful. Be intentional. So, assuming that no one at All Saints would be a flippist, it's the other people out there who are the flippists. Let me move on to talk about the gospel which we read today about Jesus' temptations. Essentially, it is a gospel about deception. The devil is trying to deceive Jesus. And it is a reminder to us about how easy it is for us to deceive ourselves. In each one of the temptations, the devil shows how cunning he is by never once telling Jesus anything that isn't true. In the first temptation, the devil tells Jesus that as the Son of God, he can make bread in the wilderness. That's true. In the past, God had miraculously provided bread in the desert for the children of Israel after their exodus from Egypt. What's more, in the future, Jesus will, through God's power, make bread in a lonely place from not much more than stones and provide a miraculous meal for 5,000 people. In the second temptation, the devil says that Jesus can have all the kingdoms upon earth. And once again, that's true. Jesus does indeed bear the name before which, according to Philippians, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And we are praying for the fulfillment of this second temptation every time we say the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. In the third temptation, the devil says that God will care for and protect all those he loves, and particularly his son. He can be trusted to preserve us from danger. Again, that's true. In fact, it is a fundamental belief of both the Jewish and the Christian faith that God is our defender. So to tempt Jesus, the devil doesn't lie to him. Everything he says is true. In fact, the whole dialogue between Jesus and the devil is made up of scriptural quotations. That is how a masterful deceiver works. It prompted Shakespeare to have Antonio say to his friend Bassanio in The Merchant of Venice, "The devil can cite scripture for his purposes." As we go through the work of self-examination to which Lent calls us, let's be particularly alert to our self-deceptions, and particularly the most dangerous of those, which can be based not upon lies, but upon truths. You know, we can even deceive ourselves by doing what the devil did to Jesus and quote scripture. Here, by way of Lenten confession, are some of the truths by which I have deceived myself during this past year. I don't have time. I have limited resources and I can't help everyone. They don't deserve it. There must be someone more qualified to help than me. I simply can't let myself be hurt again. I'm getting too old for that. I've done my bit already. They'll only spend it on alcohol and drugs. My job is to pray for them. It's time they grew up. It's contrary to scripture. All those statements have been true. But all of them have been words by which I have deceived myself. And I have been deaf because of those words to how God wants to mold me. Reflecting further on the temptations. Isn't it the case that what the devil omits when he states his truths is consideration of context? He disconnects what is true from God's time, from God's call, and lastly, from God's love. In God's right time, Jesus will make bread for the multitude. When God calls him to do it, Jesus will perform miracles that break the laws of nature. in response to the revelation of God's love and mercy towards fallen man displayed on the cross, all nations will bow down and worship him. So our work for the next 6 weeks of Lent is introspection and self-evaluation. Let's embrace that work seriously, not be flippists. And when we do, press down to uncover the truths about our hearts. Let's make sure that we are not self-deceivers. Amen.